If you have your Bible this morning, we have a confession that we like to make, and the words will be on the screen. If you would join us, and then I'll go ahead and just tell you where we're turned in the Old Testament this morning, basically one theme verse and an area, but some action steps that I hope we can take to live that truth out. So if you have your Bible, whether it's Bible, phone, or whatever it may be, and just if you're willing to open your heart to receive the word, would you join me as we make this confession together? Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert, my heart is open, my spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You sound great. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles, it's after, if you start at the beginning and go through some of those books, you'll see 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and 1 and 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, if you go so far as Psalms, you went a little bit too far. If you go back a little bit, good to see everyone here this morning. Kathy, it's good to see you in town this morning. Good to have you with us. And I know we've got some, Brother Mark and Pam, up in New Jersey visiting her family. Doc and Linda have a little time away. It seemed like to me someone else was traveling. I don't remember right off the top of my head who it is. But anyway, we pray for their journeys to be prosperous and blessed and bring them back safely to us. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. I really like to center on verse 9. And I would like to ask you even to, maybe you could try to memorize and think on this verse this week, especially the first part of it. And I've jumped the gun a little bit. I've been doing it this week. But I believe it's a great truth for us here. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." I'm going to read just one more time. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." That word loyal is also translated fully committed, whose hearts are fully committed to him. And I just wanted to take those two words and make them the title of the message today, fully committed. So the title of the message is just simply fully committed. If you are familiar with the Bible at all, you know that scripture has much to say about the heart. Because that's really how God works primarily, and at least initially. It's working in our heart in such a way that it comes out in how we live. When the Bible speaks of heart, it's not just speaking of that physical organ. It's speaking of the inner person. And one definition really just simply means the seat or center of emotion, thought, and will. The center of emotion. That's typically how we think of, like if I said, "I love you with all my heart," then there's typically affection or there's an emotion there. And we tend to relate it that way, but I'll show you a scripture in a moment that our heart also thinks. That our heart, not just our brain, our mind, but that inner person. And then also our will. The heart involves our will. One of the devotions I read daily had a testimony of a lady named Rebecca. And she talked about, just this week, her devotional said that, because she likes animals, and she got a little German Shepherd puppy, named him, Willow. And she was all excited, because she said all her life, she wanted to have a dog that she could train to go find things and bring them back to her. So that morning, she had another appointment with the trainer. And so she went ahead, and while she was in her, she called her prayer chair. She has an area where she prays, reads her Bible. She had her Bible open, but her heart wasn't in it. She was in a hurry to do what she wanted to do. But she read her list and got her check mark, closed her Bible, and went excitedly on. And while they were there, the willow has a little a toy, and the trainer put it out, and after about three tries, she would go here and there, and finally bring it back. And Rebecca told the trainer, "I don't understand. At home, she gets the toy and brings it to me." And the trainer said this, "If you watch her, she's just doing it to please you. Her heart's not in it." And she realized, she was so disappointed. My dream of having a dog that'll bring items back to me is crushed. And then it hit her. That was me this morning with the Lord. I did my religious check mark, but my heart wasn't in it. Can't do much about the dog, but here's what she said. I could choose to engage my heart with God. That's the will. And her prayer was, "Lord, I thank you that you want to have fellowship with me. Help me to develop that same desire for you." Fully committed. The Bible says this in, let me read it to you from the New Living Translation. If you want to write it down, it's Proverbs 4:23. It says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." Think about that one, please. Guard your heart above all else, because our hearts determine the course of our lives. Again, just while you're writing that reference down, that's why God's so much after the heart. It's so much about the heart. I looked up the first mention of the heart in the Bible. Again, if you stay right there in 2 Chronicles, I'll come back. But let me just give it to you, because it's important. Often in the Bible, the first mention of some particular topic kind of sets the course through the rest of the Bible for it. And this is what it says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts," see how it was thinking? "Every intent of the thoughts of his," what? Not his mind, "of his heart was only evil continually." That's the first reference to the heart in Scripture. The next verse has the first reference to God's heart. Verse 6 says, "And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on earth, and he was grieved in his heart." The sin in our heart separates us from a holy God, but the love in God's heart sent his son to rescue us from sin and its deadly consequences. Thank God for his love for us to come and reach us when we could not get to him. The Bible says this in Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God showed us how much he loved us by sending his own son. That's a powerful truth. If God did not withhold his son from us, but willingly gave him to suffer and die on the cross to bear our judgment, not for his sins, but for ours, to be punished in our place so that we could be forgiven and adopted by God as his sons and daughters and know God, he's not withholding anything good from us. He's a good father and he wants us. Let me ask you this. Is he fully committed to us? That's all he wants from us, to be fully committed back to him. And once, if we come to that place where we genuinely believe with our heart that Jesus suffered and died on the cross for my sins, he came to life on the third day and he's alive right now, and we believe and call on him as Lord, he forgives our sins and his spirit enters our heart to help us do God's will. So we can't live this Christian life without him, and he doesn't call us to. He says, if you believe in me and trust me, I'll help you live it out. Fully committed to the Lord. Would you look at this again, 2 Chronicles 16:9? Let me just give you a definition of one word, and then I want to share a few points with you. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says this, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong." That word strong means to give strength. It also means to repair and encourage. So to give strength, think of God is looking all over the earth this morning to give strength, to repair, and to encourage those whose hearts are fully committed to him, whose hearts are loyal to him. Just real quick, I won't take the time to look it up. I'll just give you these references if you want to write it down. That same word about strong is translated repair in 2 Chronicles 34:8. Again, just write it if you want it, just so you can hear it, 34:8. And then in 2 Chronicles 35:2, it's to encourage, translated to encourage. So to give strength, to repair, and to encourage. Man, there are times when we are weak and we need God's strength in our heart. There are times when we're damaged or hurting and we need him to repair our hearts. We're just downcast and we need to encourage him. God is able. And he just says, if you'll be loyal to me, I'll give you strength, I'll repair, and I'll encourage you. Just stay with me. Fully committed. Would you say that with me? Fully committed. Would you turn to someone next to you and just smile and tell them, put your heart in it. Can't do anything about the pet, but we have a choice. Would you look at chapter 14 now? 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Verse 1 says, so Abijah rested with his fathers and they buried him in the city of David. He was one of the kings of a nation called Judah. Then Asa, his son, reigned in his place. In his days, the land was quiet for 10 years. In verse 2, Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He was a good king. And somewhere along the line, he did well for so many years. But somewhere along the line, he got off track in his walk with the Lord. If you've been in fellowship in church for some period of time, you've seen people probably come and go. Some of us have that experience ourselves, that we were on the right track and maybe got off for a while. And God does work to try to bring us back to fellowship with him and back into his will. And I've looked at this because when I read it, I was like, how did he get off track? And even others in scripture and even to this day, because I want to learn, what can I see in the scripture that God gave us here from his life that we can apply so that we don't get off track? I see four steps that he took initially, and somewhere along the line, he stopped. And these words about the eyes of the Lord looking to and fro throughout the earth were written to him. They were spoken to him. So I'll give you these just four steps. If you want to write them down, I'll try to make them quick. But before I do, this is what I like to emphasize. The key to living a victorious and fruitful Christian life is staying in close fellowship with the Lord. It's the key, not one, it's the key to living a spiritually fruitful life that will count in time and eternity is to stay in close fellowship with the Lord. It's only in close fellowship with the Lord that we can receive his all-sufficient grace for every test, every trial, every temptation is only as we are close to the Lord. So that's the key. That's what I'm talking about. God will help us. So what wisdom can we gain from Asa's life and this account to help us today? And I believe, therefore, I'll just give them to you real quick. Number one, first, I believe we need to fully commit to love. Four commitments, fully commit to love. And I'll give you a few verses on that here in just a second. It's right here in 2 Chronicles 14. That's where most of them will be. I'll try to keep it simple. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, I'll read verse 3. The Bible says that Asa removed the altars of the foreign gods and the high places and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of his fathers. I really believe that's wisdom. He removed potential temptations. Here were all these idols that were left from the other nations, even some of their ancestors would use in worship of pagan gods, and he just got rid of those things. That's so important. That shows his commitment, because commitment is evidence of love. If I say I love Kim and I'm committed to her, I can't have a girlfriend or two back on the side because, yeah, y'all know that, right? And I don't. But that's being, it's committed, but it comes out of love. It's not a law, it's love that leads us and guides us. So he removed the temptations so they wouldn't even be there. And then the people together sought God, because pursuit is evidence of love too. If there is something or someone we really love, we're gonna go after it. What did Jesus say? He came to seek and save the lost. So if God's fully committed to us and he seeks us, then he wants us to seek him. So it all revolves around love. So he wants us to seek him and don't think about ways to get away with sin. When those thoughts come in, or focus on the Lord, ask him to help you bring those thoughts into captivity and use your thoughts to overcome that temptation. The Bible says this in that second part of verse 4. It says, they came to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment. So God wants us to believe his word, to receive his love, and then love him back with all of our hearts. That's fully commitment to keep us in God's will. I want to read this scripture to you from the New Testament. Again, if you just stay right there for sake of time, I'll just read it to you. It's 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 9. 2 Timothy 4, 9, Paul is writing to his young son in the faith. He's getting ready to be executed because he's a Christian for his faith in the Lord. Verse 9 says, be diligent to come to me quickly for Demas. That man was with Dr. Luke when Paul wrote the book of Colossians. He was right there with the apostles and was serving the Lord, and he got off track, and here's how it says it. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Do you see where his love went? It went from God to the world, and then he followed his heart. You see how important that is? It ultimately comes back to love, being fully committed, loving the Lord. And then verse 11 says, only Luke is with me. Dr. Luke stayed faithful. He's called the beloved physician. And he says, get Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me for the ministry. So be fully committed, fully commit to love, and then second, truth. Fully commit to love and fully commit to truth. And that was the scripture there where they said they commanded them to observe the law and to keep the commandment. Some of you are familiar with this. The night Jesus was arrested, he prayed with his disciples and prayed for them and for us. And he told his Father, your word is truth. We live in a day where some would say there is no absolute truth. And what's good for you, that's your truth, but what's good for me is my truth. How can we have any common ground like that? And if that's the case, then who gets to say what's even right and wrong? But Jesus didn't say that. He said God's word is truth. And God's word has the power to convict us of sin when we're wrong. How many know that? But it also has the power to cleanse us when we repent. God's word has the power to comfort us when we're sad or down. God's word has the power to strengthen us when we're weak. God's word has the power to free us when we're bound. And God's word has the power to heal us where we've been wounded and where we're hurting. Don't you see why the devil wants to keep us away from God's word? Because if he can, he'll make us spiritually anemic and we will not have the strength we need to overcome him. So to fully commit to love, but also to fully commit to truth. Just think about this, okay? I'll show you before we're done what Asa did. How do we respond when God's truth convicts us? Just think about that a moment, please. How do we respond when God's word convicts us? I'd like to read this scripture to you again from 2 Timothy 4. We'll just put it on the screen. I'll read it from the New Living Translation. Verse 2 says this. This is written to preachers, I guess pastors, but there's an application for us all. Preach the word of God. Not my opinion, not my perspective. Preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. Verse 3, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires, and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. We have come to that day. And then one more, verse 4, says they will reject the truth and chase after myths. Brothers and sisters, if we reject truth, deception enters. If we reject light, darkness enters. Let's love truth, even when it cuts and convicts. God's only doing it out of love to draw us back to himself and to his will. Would you say this? Would you say fully commit, to love, to truth, to fellowship. And that's the third one. Commit to fellowship. There are verses on the screen that I'll let you write those down for those of you who are writing them, and I will read them real quick. Fellowship is a common bond that we share. That's really what it means. It's what we share in common. It's our participation. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, what we share in common is the forgiveness of our sins and the indwelling presence of God's Holy Spirit. Now, there are churches all over just even this city. I literally live 9/10 of a mile from the church. And from my house to this one, I think we're about either the 6th, maybe 7th church in that little mile stretch. Some of the churches in this area are over 100 years old. But every church and every believer who genuinely knows the Lord, has their sin forgiven and indwelt by God's Holy Spirit, we share a common bond. We may worship in a little different ways, may have different preferences, but what we share together in the Lord should unite us more than what our differences would divide us, because we can be so much more effective for the Lord working together. So it's that common bond. This is what the Bible says in verse 7 of 2 Chronicles 14. 2 Chronicles 14, 7 says, therefore, this is Asa, said to Judah, let us build those cities and make walls around them, or these cities, and towers, gates, and bars while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. I love that when the people sought the Lord together, God prospered them and gave them rest. There was a peace. There is still a peace that comes when we're right with God and we seek him together. Then there is a peace of God that passes all understanding to guard our hearts and minds that we can't have without being at peace with him. So to be at peace, to guard our hearts and minds, then we can face all the troubles and battles and trials and issues with God's grace to help us, rather than face them without. We'll face them either way. That's just life. Are we going to face them with God's help and grace? That's right. Or on our limited human strength? He's made available to us. So they prospered them and he gave them rest. And this is also what it says in chapter 15, verse 12. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 12 says, they entered into a covenant, the people together, to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and all their soul. And so they sought the Lord together, and the Bible says they rejoiced because they sought him. So the Lord gives joy when we seek him together. And see, as the body of Christ, we need each other to function properly and be effective in ministry. The Bible says that ministry is effective when every part does its share. You want every part of your body working properly, right? I do. The Lord does as well. Let me just give you one more scripture on that one. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says this, therefore comfort each other and edify. What does edify mean? Like your edifice, you're building up. So therefore comfort each other and build up one another just as you also are doing. I've seen this over the years. If we worship and serve together with selfless love, we will grow. We'll grow closer to the Lord, we'll grow more like him, and we'll grow together. I picture it like a pyramid. If I'm right here, or maybe I'll say like steps, how about that? Brother Juan, could I bother you just for a moment? Would you just stand right there opposite me? Sure. Okay. And we have a heart to grow to the Lord, okay? So the Lord's drawing me. I want to get closer to him, so I take a step toward him. Would you also do the same? Because that's his heart too. And then the Lord's drawing me, and the Lord is drawing you. so we take a step up toward him. Do y'all see what's happening? As we take steps closer to the Lord, we get closer to one another. Because we're not just serving for our show, we're serving for the glory of God. And he does that to draw us together closer to one another and to him. I appreciate my brother and my dentist. Fully commit to love, truth, fellowship, and finally to trust. Fully commit to love, truth, fellowship, and trust. Would you say that with me? Fully commit to love, truth, fellowship, and trust. I'll just read a few verses here. You have them on the screen, and then we're done. My prayer has just been that the Lord would help us. None of us arrive in this life. We always need to be on our guard, always need to be pursuing the Lord, because none of us is above falling. And just like that picture of the fellowship, staying in close fellowship with one another can help us not to fall away from the Lord. 2 Chronicles 14, 11 and 12 says this, Asa cried out to the Lord, his God. I'll pause there to give you a little background. Asa was attacked by an army that outnumbered him almost 2-1. Almost 2-1. In a day when they didn't have bombs and so forth, atomic weapons, there was a lot of close fighting. And outnumbered 2-1, he cried out to the Lord. And this is what it says. He cried out to the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, it's nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us. That's always a good prayer when you're in trouble. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you. That word rest means to lean oneself on. Lean, I'm going to trust, I'm going to rest. I'm going to lean on this table and rely on it to hold me up. That's what that word means. I'll show you another pretty popular place where that same Hebrew word is found. Let me keep reading here. He said, we rest on you, we trust, we rely on you, and in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against us. So the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. This is the greatest military victory recorded in Scripture for a nation. Outnumbered 2-1, almost, and the people of God defeated them. So they cried out, they leaned on the Lord. This is what I've found out about tests in our lives. Tests reveal our heart to us. When we go through a test, God already knows, but it will show us, or it can, what's in our heart. And tests will also show us who or what we're trusting in. Tests reveal. Would you say that with me? Tests reveal. So they reveal our heart, reveal who or what we trust in. And for 20 years, Asa didn't have war after this great victory. And I don't know this because the Bible doesn't say, but I do wonder, did he grow complacent? Because it was kind of easy, and he just grew complacent. And instead of really loving and seeking the Lord and continuing after him, maybe he started to shift his focus a little bit because he put his trust, instead of in the Lord, in the next battle that he faced in human effort. This is what it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 7. It says, at that time, Hanani the seer, that means a prophet, came to Asa, king of Judah, because he had joined forces with the Syrian army and asked them to help. He said, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Then he asked him in verse 8, were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. Isn't it good sometimes when we're in a battle to reflect back on see how God was faithful before? that he was faithful. If he kept us before and helped us make it to this point, he can keep us moving forward. Then verse 9, our theme verse, for the eyes of the Lord, would you read this with me? For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. And then the prophet went on and he finished and he said, in this you've done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars. Remember, I asked you earlier, how do we respond when God's word convicts us? Verse 10 says this, then Asa was angry with the preacher and put him in prison, for he was enraged at him because of this, and Asa oppressed some of his own people at this time. He came to that sad end because he got away from his full commitment to the Lord, to love, commitment to truth. And instead of promoting the truth and saying, we're going to seek God's word together, he got mad when he heard the truth and put the messenger in prison. Full commitment to fellowship. They sought the Lord together. Now he's oppressing some of his people. And instead of trusting the Lord, he put his trust in human effort and it cost him. Fully commit. And then the last verse I'll read here in this chapter in verse 12 says this. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. The problem wasn't that, well, let me back up, because these were probably medicine men, probably practicing occult or magic. But let's just say they were good, legitimate doctors. The issue wasn't seeking a doctor. Luke was a doctor in the New Testament. The issue was he didn't look to the Lord. God will work to bring us back into full fellowship with him and bring us back into his will. But like Asa, we can refuse. Let's not. let's seek after the Lord and fulfill what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says. This is the verse I was telling you about earlier, I referred to about leaning, trusting. It says this, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Would you say that with me? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And here's that word, and lean not on your own understanding. See? And then verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Thank God that he loves us enough and is committed to us to draw us back to himself. I can tell you, not just in like on a one occasion when my family got out of church because a situation in the church. And instead of going to another fellowship, we were out of church for years. And I was coming up into my adolescent and teen years. And you know, when you don't have godly influence, what other influence is automatically there? And I was there. But when I was 18 years old, the conviction of God out of his love for me made me so miserable, I said, I don't want to live like this anymore. And by his grace, I just simply said, Lord, here I am. I'm sorry and help me. And the Lord was, I was the prodigal coming home, and the Father had open heart and open arms to welcome me back. But even in our daily little struggles, and sometimes you feel like you get out of maybe a little fellowship and maybe like that Rebecca, who your just heart's not in it, he still works to draw us back. He doesn't want us going through the motions. He wants our heart to be in it because his heart is in it. He's invested in us and he wants to seek him. So today, the Lord invites us all to a closer walk with him, to love him from the inside out. There's a little chorus that is like a prayer, consume me from the inside out and let me follow you with all of my heart. Father, I just want to thank you for being fully committed to us. Help us to be fully committed to you and your will for your glory. In Jesus' name.